Have you ever felt stuffed after a meal but suddenly found room for dessert? That's because we actually have a second stomach for sweets. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment to digest this weird fact.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
The separate dessert stomach is an anatomical reality. Through a process called gastric accommodation, the stomach relaxes and expands to make room for sweets. And since most desserts are soft, they're not that hard for your tummy to digest anyway. The sight of sweets makes our brain flip on a switch called hedonic hunger, which tricks the body into eating even when we're full, because the brain wants the neural reward sweet stuff delivers. So, the next time you're full and someone offers you dessert, don't let your second stomach and your tricky brain get you to overeat. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, encouraging you to make healthy choices for everything you take in, whether it's food or online content. Check out my new website at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey there, Katherine Albrecht here with you. Thinking about social media today and thinking about Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, someone I don't like to think about too often, but I'm thinking about him because he has been testifying before Congress. Testified before Congress many times, but now he's testifying in a trial that he is defending himself against the addictive, accusations and concerns, and he's actually being sued over the addictive nature of social media. Here's the story. This is in Los Angeles, in a courtroom in LA today. The Meta CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, Meta formerly known as Facebook, answered questions about young people's use of Instagram. He was asked questions about his congressional testimony, and he was asked questions about advice that he has received from his own team about looking authentic and not robotic. So if you know Mark Zuckerberg, I don't think authentic is a word that comes to mind. Most definitely robotic is a word that comes to mind. And in fact, in the picture, the most recent pictures of him, I have noticed there's something very strange about this man's eyes. Not only his mannerisms, but his eyes are just, they're just off. I have been reading over his testimony and reading, and then I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to look up his net worth. And here's what I found. This came out on January 29th, that Mark Zuckerberg's fortune added more than $22 billion on January 28th. Okay, now hang on. This is not his total net worth. This is the amount that was added to his net worth in a single day, $22 billion additional dollars to his own personal net worth, not Meta's, not the corporation, but his own personal net worth, increased by $22 billion on January 28th, ranking him as the world's fourth richest person. surpassing Amazon's Jeff Bezos, or Bezos, however you say that, as Meta's stock rallied after once again exceeding Wall Street's expectations for quarterly revenue. So how much do you think, if he added $22 billion in a single day, how much do you think his overall net worth is? Well, let me see. I had it here. It's a shocking number. It would say completely shocking number. Hang on. Where did it go? I have so many windows open about technology and kids. That's what I'm going to be talking about in just a minute. Well, this one said he added, hang on, his net worth. Okay, are you ready for this? $220 billion. $220 billion. And so adding or subtracting $22 billion from $220 billion barely even registers. I doubt this guy even breaks his stride when he loses $22 billion or gains $22 billion because his overall net worth is like mind-blowing. All right, so here is the Forbes real-time billionaire list right now. This is, what is the date on this thing? I don't see a date on here. Iris Font Bona, $3.3 billion. Now, this can't be right. All right, this is not the right way. I don't want this website. This is Forbes list, but I'm not sure I completely have the date on it and have that right. But in any event, Mark Zuckerberg comes in at number four right now. He is swimming in money. And what do you do with that amount of money? Well, what you do is you stop worrying about money, certainly. And you start worrying about other things. You start thinking about other things that give your life meaning. For most of us, we go to jobs and we work in order to make money so we can retire, so we can provide for our children, so we can pay tuition, so we can put a roof over our heads, so we can have a nice car, so we can have vacations, all the things that people want to do with money. But when you have $220 billion, you're not thinking about money at all. He probably thinks about money to the same extent that you think about the air you breathe. You don't really have to think about it. Does it matter if the room you're in has an additional cubic foot of air? Well, no, it doesn't, because most of us, unless you're underwater or trapped in a cave or in a submarine, most of us don't have to think about the air we breathe. It just is, and you can just count on it being there. You don't really have to think about it. And that's really how money is for Mark Zuckerberg. So if you're not thinking about air, you're not thinking about money, you're not thinking about the things money buys, like food and clothing and shelter and tuition and all those sorts of things. If you're not thinking about any of that, what are you thinking about? Because you got to think about something. And based on what Mark Zuckerberg has been doing in recent years, a lot of what he thinks about is creepy. A lot of what he thinks about involves modifying the planet, modifying people, modifying the way people interact with each other. He actually recently said that most people don't have enough friends. Well, that's actually true. And you know what? He's partly to blame for that. In fact, he's largely, I won't say he's entirely to blame, but social media and computers and technology and all of the things that people are staring into are in large measure, I won't say they're the only things responsible, but they're playing a big role in the loneliness epidemic that has hit modern society. And so his response to that was not to say, you know, we need to think about how to take these tools, which were initially back in the 1990s when the World Wide Web came out, these tools that were supposed to bring a utopia of human connection and an end to loneliness, and we would be connected to one another in unprecedented ways that we never have been before. And instead of saying, we need to get back to that ideal, we need to figure out how to restructure social media so that it encourages rather than discourages mental health and human flourishing and connections between people. But that's not what he said. What he came out and said is most people don't have enough friends, and so there's a solution for that. AI. They're going to have AI friends. That's what we'll do. We'll create AI friends for people, and then people won't be lonely anymore. All right. Now, if that's not robotic, if this guy is not in a different universe than the rest of us, I don't know who is, because that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts to look at the problem that you created And to say the answer to it is more of the problems you're creating. And yet, it's pretty typical, isn't it? Right? The more people go down a bad road, the more they want you to go further down the bad road to fix the problems of the bad road. And this is true for so many different technologies, that the solution to pollution is more technology so we can clear up the pollution, not less technology so we're not creating it. The solution to loneliness and isolation from social media that, and I'll go into some of the details of what it's actually done to people and why he's being sued, the downside to that can only be cured by more social media, more technology, more disconnection between people. So here he is with his $220 billion saying this. This man, I maybe somebody can do the math if somebody has a calculator out there and is good with these kinds of things. Take the average person, just look it up, go on Start Page and look it up. What is the average person's net worth? Just the average American, I don't even know what that number is. And then divide $220 billion by that number. And let's figure out how many people Mark Zuckerberg's fortune represents in terms of average people and their average net worth. And I bet that number is staggering. That number is probably quite astonishing of a number. And when you see Mark Zuckerberg, and I've thought about this many times, a person, despite how many people's income they represent. So let's say Mark Zuckerberg represents, I don't know, 1,000 people. He's going to not represent that, but let's say that number. So let's say someone is richer or rich enough to represent 1,000 people. He's not going to be 1,000 times bigger than a single person. He's not going to be 1,000 times shinier than a single person. He's just going to be a person. And one of the things that these guys, like I said, once you have all the money you could ever need and it's no longer an issue, you want to become bigger. You want to be more important. You want to shine brighter. You want to be larger. And yet you can't because you are limited to 6 feet tall on this planet. And you only have two arms and you only have two eyes. And sometimes maybe your eyes are kind of wonky and you're losing your hair, but you want more. All right, stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
So it was interesting on this break. I was looking up what is the average American's net worth, and the answer is right in line with what we're talking about. The billionaires in this country are skewing the average numbers. Now, listen to this. This is a trip. So the average American's net worth is $620,000. $620,000. That's the average American's net worth. Now, you and I are looking at each other going, hang on a minute, that can't be right. There's a whole lot of people who are on welfare, and there's a lot of people under the poverty line, and there's a lot of people struggling day to day just to get by. How is it that the average American's net worth is $620,000? And yet you look a little deeper. This story is in, in Yahoo Finance. No, it's in MoneyWise. But let me read you this because I found this fascinating. I just read this during the break. As of 2024, the average American had a net worth of $620,654, according to a recent report on global wealth. But if that number sounds surprisingly high and disconnected from your lived experience, there's a reason for that. Averages are calculated by taking a total amount and dividing it by the number of individuals in a data set, but this can be easily skewed by a few individuals who are complete outliers. For instance, if you, with the average American net worth, and Elon Musk were to stand in an elevator together, the average net worth on that elevator per person would be $224 billion. Your personal net worth may be nowhere close to that, but the fact that there are only two people in this scenario means the figure is skewed upwards. You may know a few people within your friend group, circle, or family who have $620,000 in total wealth, despite what the report says. Or you may know few people. You may not know many people. That's what it says. So unlike averages, you can take the median and get a clearer picture. Median calculations are not skewed by a few outliers. Instead of taking the total wealth and dividing it by the number of people, you instead calculate this by arranging all the adults in order, and then you pick the person exactly in the middle. All right, now this is what you learn in college statistics courses, is how to do this. So averages, medians, modes, all these different numbers are actually useful for different purposes. And for American net worth, let me tell you the difference between the average, which is that $620,000, and the median, which is person in the middle, half or above, half or below. What's that number? $124,000. Yeah. So these guys are skewing us by a lot. All right. That's an astonishing 5 times lower than the average net worth of $620,000. In fact, by this measure, America is only the 15th wealthiest country in the world. We are surpassed in terms of individual wealth behind we're surpassed by Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and even Italy. By comparison, the U.S. is the second wealthiest country based on average wealth. So what's happening is we've got these billionaires, and they have so much money that they are skewing everything in the country in their direction. So much money that it's unprecedented to have this amount of wealth concentrated in this few hands. All right, at the end of 2024, and it's a couple years old, more than two-thirds of the total household wealth across the country was held by only the top 10% of households. That means the remaining third of the money in this country is held by 90%. So 90% of us own that portion, and the remainder of it, the two-thirds of it, so 90% of us own a third of it, and the 10% of them own two-thirds of it. All right, it's really skewed. This is not an even distribution. This is a bimodal distribution where some people have a whole lot, a lot of people have not very much, and some of us are in the middle, but for the most part, they're glumping up the numbers by existing on their side. Now, let me read you a story out from today, and then I'm going to get back to Mark Zuckerberg in a minute, about, hang on, how the billionaires are becoming a problem for the economy. All right, this is Wall Street Journal. This just came out today. Yeah, just came out at 5:30 this morning. Let me read you this. Tax avoidance by the super wealthy is an economic issue as well as a political one. All right, now, we just finished saying that 10% of the people in the country control two-thirds of the wealth, but they're not paying their share of the taxes. Disproportionately, the taxes are paid by the rest of us. All right, let me read this. California's plan to hit its richest residents with a one-off wealth tax is a long shot, and its design has problems. But a look at who picks up the tab when billionaires scrimp on taxes and how wealth concentration is affecting the wider economy shows why the issue isn't going away. The risk is that the U.S. economy becomes increasingly dependent on a narrow group of very rich households whose spending is tied to the performance of the stock market. This could mean the entire economy pays a steep price in the next market correction. And like I just finished saying, you can have changes in the stock market and you can see Mark Zuckerberg's net wealth increase or decrease by tens of billions of dollars. And he's like, whatever. But if that happened to the rest of us, when those kinds of changes happen, they affect people's pensions, their retirements, their life savings. They have massive impacts on the rest of us when he can just kind of shrug it off because he's got more money than he knows what to do with anyway. All right, California has the highest concentration of billionaires in the United States, with 255 individuals, or slightly more than one-fifth of the country's total billionaire population. Federal cuts to the state's Medicaid program will leave its health system short of billions of dollars. A California healthcare union wants an emergency one-time 5% levy on the wealth of any resident worth over $1 billion to plug the hole. Okay, now that is a story, and I will post a link to it, and you can go on and read all about that, the low taxes and the billionaires and how they're impacting us. But I want to go to another story here. Mark Zuckerberg may be leaving California for what is called, quote, billionaire bunkers. Here's where the place gets its name. This one is dated yesterday. Okay. Florida's famous billionaire bunkers, and that's in quotes, may soon get a new billionaire as its resident, and it's reported to be Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg. According to a recent Wall Street Journal report, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, are the latest California billionaires to buy a home in South Florida. The couple are reported to be buying a newly completed waterfront mansion on Miami's Indian Creek. And as to those wondering why it is called billionaire bunkers, it's because of the residents. The gated, man-made Barrier Island Indian Creek boasts of several billionaires as its residents. It operates as an independent municipality with its own government and private police who patrol by air, water, and sky. It reportedly has only 84 residents and 41 property lots. These names include Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, popular investor Carl Icahn, and billionaire auto dealer Norman Braman. Google founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin, too, are said to have bought properties in Florida. Now, let's back up and see what this is actually saying. What? So these guys built an island. This is a man-made island. So they built their own island, right? So they built an island and gated it off so regular the rest of us can't go to it, and then created their own government on this island. They have their own police force. They have their own fire department. They have their own everything. They have their own postal code. They have their own ordinances and rules and regulations and local community things that they all control themselves. So unlike the rest of us, I don't know about where you live, but you have a local government. You have a town. Like I just went, I got to give you the good news from last night. Anyway, last night I went to the data center meeting of the monthly meeting of the trustees of my township. And those are the guys who make the decisions for the rest of us on the local level. So they're the ones who charge the taxes on the water, and they're the ones who handle the trash pickup, and they're the ones who approve or don't approve whether you are allowed or not allowed to build on your property certain things. They've got a zoning commission. So they're in charge of a lot of decisions, and what they decide has a big impact on the residents of this community. And the rest of us are kind of at their mercy. We can go and we can show up in the meetings, we can voice our opinions, and we can vote them in or out of office. But ultimately, they call the shots, and we have to follow the shots they call. But not these guys, not these rich billionaire guys. They get to live on their island, and they get themselves, all 84 of them, they get to call their own shots. In other words, there is no government over them locally. There's no one saying what they can and cannot do zoning-wise. There's no one determining any of this other than they themselves. So there, as the book of Romans says, I've been trying to figure out what it means, that a law unto themselves, right? Well, this is sort of the modern version of that. They are a law unto themselves. So they're not subject to the rules the rest of us are subject to. And we're learning a lot about what it means to be a billionaire, not subject to the rules other people follow, through the Epstein files. There are a lot of rules that we just take for granted that these guys just don't have to follow. And it is, a lot of this has really come into light, I think, lately, especially with these lawsuits and these criminal cases and such, that we're beginning to get a little glimpse into this. And what we're seeing is not beautiful. Let me get back to the lawsuit. Hang on, I got all my stories here. And I will post all of these for you guys so you can see all this. The lawsuit, his testimony. All right, here we go. No, coming up in a break. But I want to talk about how he got so much money. How did he get to be the fourth richest person? How does he have $220 billion? Why does he have a second home or third or fifth or 20th home on a man-made island where they call their own shots? All right, we'll talk about how that happened when we come back.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
You've heard.
Beloved, let us always love one another. 'Cause God is love, whoever loves is fathered by God and has intimate knowledge of Him. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son down to us, so we might finally live through Him. This is how we know that we live in Him, and He in us, He's given us His Spirit. Let us love one another, love one
All right, I'm posting in the chat room the links to all these stories. What I'm going to try to do, so Lori, who is our wonderful, I mean, she's just a wonderful friend. She's been listening to the show for a long time, since, 15 years ago. Anyway, Lori is listening to every program. She's not with us here in the chat room, I don't believe, but she listens to every program and she writes up the descriptions for the shows that are in the archives at Catherine-Albrecht.com under radio show. So you can go back, you can search through it, you can find previous shows that I've done, and thanks to Lori's efforts, there is a description of each of the shows that I do. And what I'm going to be asking her to do going forward is to also post the links to the stories that I talk about on the air. And so I'm going to be posting those in the chat room. You can join into the chat room by going to Catherine-Albrecht.com and click on the Listen Live link or the live chat window, and you can join us in there and you can see the stories themselves right there directly. So I'm also in the archives going to be posting these as well. So you can go and listen to them and find them there. So the first one I posted, billionaires' low taxes are becoming a problem for the economy. This is the Wall Street Journal out today. Tax avoidance by the super wealthy is an economic issue as well as a political one. If two-thirds of the wealth in this country, two-thirds of the, well, presumably income as well, is not being taxed properly, and we can have an argument over what is proper taxation or not, but let us say that taxation is supposed to be set at levels that allow us to run the government properly, and two-thirds of the income being earned or money, you know, floating around the economy is not being taxed at the same rate, then they're getting taxed at lower rates, and two-thirds of that economic activity is not getting taxed. So where does the burden fall? On you and me. It falls on us, those of us in the lower third, the 90% of us, the 90% of the 340 million Americans who are operating in that lower third, which is actually 90% of us, we're the ones paying those taxes, because those guys can afford to hire attorneys and they can afford to hire accountants and all kinds of lobbying that they do with the government, because they're the ones who put the money, you know, they donate the money to the political campaign. So when people get elected because of their money, then they call in the favors and they say, hey, we want you to change the tax laws, please. Please modify the tax code. Whatever you do, don't tax us. Reduce our taxes. And we don't care what you do to everybody else's taxes. It'd be great if you want to keep those low too, but you won't be able to. But just keep our taxes low. And then you figure out how to run the government from everybody else, on everybody else's back. So that's these guys. Billionaires' low taxes are becoming a problem for the economy. And by the way, I'm looking at a comment here from David. He says, the truth is known that 99% of the wealth is less than 1% of the people, a very small number of families that hoard crazy amounts of wealth. And that's true. That's true. And there's really no reason to. By the way, Mark Zuckerberg was actually asked in the LA courtroom today about his wealth. And he said he is giving away almost all of it to charity. What kind of charities does he, and by the way, there's no evidence of him doing that. He says he's going to do that. What evidence is there of him doing it? Who knows? And where does he want it to go? He wants it to go, you ready, to scientific research. Well, what kind of scientific research is Mark Zuckerberg into? AI, transhumanism, combining machines and people, creepy research, research designed to dehumanize human beings. I am not a fan of any of the research Mark Zuckerberg has funded, to the best of my knowledge. And they actually asked him, the attorneys actually asked him, are you going to put, how much of that money that you're supposedly giving all away to charity, are you going to put towards the victims of social media addiction? And he said, I don't like the way you've characterized that question. So he didn't even answer that. All right. So there's my first story, posting it in my chat room, and let me find my other one. All right, so this is more of his testimony today, talking about, okay, boy, I have so much to say about this. The attorney asked spent a lot of his limited time with Zuckerberg asking about the company's age verification policies. Age verification policies. I don't see why this is so complicated, Zuckerberg said after a lengthy back and forth, reiterating that the company's policy restricts users under the age of 13, and they work to detect users who have lied about their ages to bypass restrictions. Now, The fact that young people are being sucked into addiction through these platforms when they should be outside riding their bikes and playing with their dogs and doing the kinds of things kids need to do when they're young, the social media that has sucked them all into this vortex of living in a screen instead of in the real world when they're young is supposed to cut, it's basically supposed to ensure that young people can live normal lives until they're 13. And I guess then they become sucked into their screens and become robot automatons playing video games and looking into screens all day. But the problem here is that if you're going to enforce a 13-year-old age restriction or an 18-year-old age restriction or a 21-year-old age restriction, then what you're going to have to do is have a fail-safe way of ensuring that people are who they say they are. And you're probably already beginning to see little bits of this online when they want you to upload your driver's license or they want you to aim the camera at you so they can do age verification. That's going to become more and more egregious. So as we get laws restricting access to online content for various ages or various types of people, we're going to, all of the rest of us who are law-abiding and of age, et cetera, well, it's just going to be an unintended side effect that they're able to create a dragnet and an intensive database of our facial recognition and of our driver's licenses and of all the facts about us. And those facts are going to be associated with who we are online and everywhere we go. So in the name of protecting the children, who do need to be protected, absolutely, but they're not scaling back what they're doing with the social media. Instead, they're putting the burden on us to prove that we are the age that we say we are, and that enables them to collect this vast and incredible database of information, which for all I know, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear, was the primary reason they were doing this in the first place, just couching it in terms of protecting children. All right, so this article, hang on, I'm posting it in my chat room right here. There we go. Okay. I did a little bit of math, and I figured out that Mark Zuckerberg is, oh boy, and then I deleted it. I have my number. I have a different number on my calculator right now. Hang on. Ah, here we go. So Mark Zuckerberg, I did the math. I figured out $22 billion of Mark Zuckerberg's net worth versus $100,000 of the median American's net worth means that when you look at Mark Zuckerberg, you might as well be looking at, if I have my numbers right, 1.8 million individuals. 1.8 million people or Mark Zuckerberg. If you put them on a scale, money-wise, in terms of their value, their net worth, not their value, ha ha ha, but their financial net worth, and you have a balance scale, like the old-fashioned, you know, scales of justice with the blindfold over her eyes, and she's holding it up, and it's got the two little sides, and they're hanging from a chain, and they're balancing, you would have to put 1.833 billion people, 1,833,333 people onto one side of that balance scale in order to balance with one Mark Zuckerberg on the other side. Can you picture that? I can't picture that. wow. So when we're talking about wealth disparity, this is what we're talking about. And we're not talking about people at the low end of the scale. We're not talking about the poorest people in the country compared to Mark Zuckerberg, because that's the much huger number. But we're talking about average Americans. So 1.8, almost 2 million people, average Americans, in order to have the same net worth as Mark Zuckerberg. Boy. Okay. So had to get that out there. The other thing, have you guys ever heard the thing where, you know, if everybody in the country gave you a penny, you would have X amount of dollars and you'd be rich? Well, Mark Zuckerberg's net worth is the equivalent of $650 out of each one of our individual pockets. That's it. That's essentially what he's gotten from every single person in America. Every baby, every 90-year-old, every person in a hospital in a coma, every single person in the country, $650 out of them. And that is the amount that society essentially has paid to Mark Zuckerberg. And what have we gotten in return? Addiction? Misery? All right, I'll talk about some of those things we've gotten in return for our $650 a piece right after this.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com. Thank you.
Don't gotta worry about a thing. Your thoughts on what is true and honorable, on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Put into practice all you've learned, and the God of peace will be with you.
Right, I'm back. Don't gotta worry about it. So here's the trial. Here is the lawsuit that just opened up on Monday in Los Angeles. And we're probably going to be learning more about these companies, Google and Facebook, or Meta, and you know how they have addicted children. But I'm just going to read this to you. This is from Associated Press. Landmark trial accusing social media companies of addicting children to their platform begins. Now, we've been talking about Mark Zuckerberg's incredible wealth. There is no more powerful way to become wealthy than to cause people who need your to become addicted to your product and make money off of their addiction. You can do this whether you are running casinos in Las Vegas or sports betting. You can do this as a tobacco company. You can do this as a drug dealer on the streets in the ghetto. The reason the drug dealers on the streets in the ghetto are walking around with thick, you know, inch thick stacks of $100 bills is off the misery of the people who have become addicted to their product. The reason that when you go to Las Vegas and you see the huge, massive casinos and the lights and the fountains and the marble and the this and the that, every single thing that you see there represents someone who lost that money. Every bit of money you see in Las Vegas represents pain that someone experienced because of their addiction, and it represents a loss. When you look at some things in the world, some people in the world or some companies in the world that are wealthy, it represents something valuable. Let's use, for example, I used to live in New Hampshire, and the Demoulas supermarket chain. The Demoulas family owned the Market Basket supermarket chain. And we know some details about their finances because two of the Demoula brothers, or were they cousins? I don't know. It was a big deal for a period of time where they were fighting over the value of this company and the inheritance and this and that and the control of it. And so as a result, we got to see the amount of wealth that was coming from this little local Market Basket supermarket chain. But that wealth represented fed families. That wealth that they had accumulated represented people going to the grocery store and buying food and going home and cooking it and eating it and staying alive because they were eating food and having wonderful gatherings around the table and Thanksgivings. So I don't begrudge the Demoulas family from, I don't begrudge their wealth. They earned it. They earned it because they provide a valuable service to the community in New England, which is the service of providing food that people need. If nobody was providing food, well, we would be up kind of a creek, right? So there are certain things in the world where you see people who've gotten wealthy and you're like, yeah, I see that. They deserve that. They're doing something valuable. When I go to Vegas, not that I go there, but a couple of years ago, I drove through it and just was appalled because the wealth that you see there is wealth, like I said, that represents harm, pain, suffering, misery, tears, broken marriages, broken families, embezzlement. I was actually the victim of embezzlement by someone who my family trusted immensely, and they embezzled money from my parents in order to blow it in Vegas because they thought they'd get it back. And so they stole a huge amount of money. And that is where all that money comes from. Where did that money go? Where did the, $250,000 that were embezzled, and it was a huge chunk of my parents' net worth, where did it go? Well, I'll tell you, that fountain that you see, the fountain and the lights and the whatever, that's where it came from. That's where it comes from. If there's a $250,000 fountain, well, it came from somebody losing that money. And it came from someone being harmed by it. So if the Demoula family has $250,000, I'm like, yeah, okay. But if Vegas has $250,000, that's not good. If the sports betting has $250,000, well, then they took that from someone. Someone lost that money. And Mark Zuckerberg, the $220 billion that Mark Zuckerberg has, and that's his personal net worth. That is not the shareholders of Meta. That is not the entire company. That's literally him personally as a dude, just him. Where did that money come from? Well, it came from addiction. It came from misery. And let me read you this. The world's biggest social media companies face several landmark trials this year that seek to hold them responsible for harms to children who use their platforms. Opening statements in one such trial in Los Angeles County Superior Court began on Monday of this week. Instagram's parent company Meta and Google's YouTube face claims that their platforms deliberately addict and harm children. TikTok and Snap, which were originally named in the lawsuit, have already settled for undisclosed sums. Jurors got their first glimpse into what will be a lengthy trial characterized by dueling narratives from the plaintiffs and the two remaining social media companies named as defendants. All right, so there were multiple defendants. Most of them have settled, but Meta and Google are going to duke it out. They actually have gone to trial and said, we're going to defend ourselves. Okay. Meta's lawyer is named Paul Schmidt, and he said, there's a disagreement within the scientific community over social media addiction, with some believing it doesn't exist and that addiction is not the proper way to describe heavy social media use. Now, those guys have all the money in the world. They can fund as many studies as they want, and they can fund scientists to go out and do studies and say, this is not addiction. Right? They've got the money to do that. They've got, a whole lot of money. Mark Lanier delivered the opening statement for the plaintiffs. All right, so there's two attorneys here, Meta's lawyer, Paul Schmidt, and then the lawyer for the rest of us, Mark Lanier, in a lively display where he said, this case is as easy as ABC. Now, that's a joke. That's a play on words because ABC is Google's parent company now. They've renamed themselves ABC, which stands for, all right, he came up with a new name for it, Addicting the Brains of Children, ABC. I love that, ABC. He called Meta and Google, quote, two of the richest corporations in history that have engineered addiction in children's brains. Mark Zuckerberg is one of the richest human beings in history. I'd have to go back and see how that compares in today's dollars to the wealthy robber barons of the early 20th century, but I'm guessing that he's far surpassed that. Right? Two of the richest corporations in history. He presented jurors a slew of, this is so interesting, and this is all coming out because when there are trials, you get to see details that you would not see otherwise, because in discovery, the attorneys get to ask for internal juicy documents, and then they get presented in court, and then they become part of the public record that the rest of us can see. So there's going to be a lot. I'll be talking about this as the case progresses because there's so much interesting stuff. But here's part of it. A slew of internal emails, documents, and studies conducted by Meta and YouTube. Now, this, I think, is absolutely damning to these guys. He emphasized the findings of a study Meta conducted. Okay, so this is Facebook did this study. It was called Project MIST, M-Y-S-T. In this Project MIST, they themselves surveyed 1,000 teens and their parents about social media use. The two major findings were that the company knew, as a result of this study, that children were experiencing adverse events, and that's in quotes, adverse events like trauma and stress, that children experiencing adverse events in their lives were particularly vulnerable to social media addiction, and that the parental supervision and controls had little to no impact on their addiction. Now, this study wasn't done by the plaintiffs. This was not a study done by the people suing them. This study was done by them. And yet they did not release these findings. They kept them internal. It gets even worse. He showed internal Google documents that likened some company products to a casino and internal communications between Meta employees where one person said Instagram is, quote, like a drug and that the employees at Instagram are, quote, basically pushers. At the core of the case is a 20-year-old identified only by the initials KGM. And this particular person, KGM, made an appearance and said she will return to testify later in the trial. She spent time talking about her childhood, particularly focused on what her personality was like before she began using social media, saying her mother called her a creative spark as a child. She started using YouTube at age 6, Instagram at age 9, before she graduated elementary school. What do you do that at, like 12 or 13? She had already posted close to 300 videos on YouTube. The companies are going to try to blame this girl and her parents for the trap they built. She was a minor when she became addicted to social media platforms, and she claims they had a detrimental impact on her mental health and development. All right, so that's what this suit is about. She is representing millions of American young people, millions and millions of people who have been addicted to this content. And that is where all that money came from. That, this kind of heartbreak, this kind of heartache, these kind of tears, these ruined lives, these mental illnesses, these suicides, that is what built the $220 billion Mark Zuckerberg empire. So, all right, well, we'll be staying tuned. It's going to be interesting to watch this thing unfold as more and more documents come out, and we're finding that they absolutely knew and, I don't know, rubbed their hands together all the way to the bank on this addiction that they knew was happening. All right, Catherine Albert here. I'll see you guys tomorrow. By the way, good news. At last night's meeting, we got a one-year moratorium on data centers. We will not have them for one more year, March 1st, 2027. All right, bless you. Thanks for praying. Bye.